Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Matt, for sharing, for church, for recognizing and encouraging. Today's passage of Scripture will come from 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be in a couple places, but if you want to open up your Bible, you can open up to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we ask this question today: what do you really want to be in life? What do you really want to be in life? You know, when we think of different areas of life, we tend to have an obsession with and a fixation on the one that kind of stands out, don't we? When we think of perhaps the most, well, if we could term it this way today, the most powerful position in the world, very well maybe, and would be to be the president of the United States of America. Many people recognize that. That's a powerful position. And we often think of that term, like what it would be like to be president. If not of this great country, then what would it be like to be president of the organization maybe that you're a part of or serve? But we fixate on the one that stands out. We, if you're part of an orchestra, oftentimes your goal is to be the first chair in that instrument. If you're part of theater, you're shooting often for the lead role. What would it be like to be the lead role in a production? If you're on a team, what does it mean to be a starter on a team or a team captain? But we think about those things, that we tend to look at what is the top position? What does it mean to be the MVP or to be the top dog? And so we can ask that question, and it may even enter into our minds as a Christian, what does it mean to reach the highest level we could reach as a Christian? When it comes to Christianity, what does it mean to really arrive as a Christian? What does it mean to have arrived? Today, as we do recognize this service of a deacon ordination, we're going to look at some specifics of what being a deacon involves. But we have to be careful when we do this as a church. We have to be careful about the way we think, because sometimes we put a lot of weight into certain titles. As Matt mentioned already this morning, the term deacon comes from a Greek word that actually means something like servant. It's usually translated as servant or minister. And so the general idea of being a deacon is not some isolated position that is just separated completely from the church. What a deacon is largely represents what every Christian should be, right? That's what every Christian should be, is to be a servant. The word is used different times in the New Testament, and when that word is used, only a few times is it actually used for a specific office of deacon, like we're talking about today with Matt, that he's taking on the office of being a deacon as a specific position. Generally, it means servant or minister. One passage where it does mean a specific position is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'd like for you to read with me those verses, verses 8 through 10, and also verses 12 and 13. It says this about being in the position of a deacon. Deacons, likewise, the verses before have just described what elders or overseers are called to be. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Matt mentioned this process has been probably about a year or so. In the meantime, he's been tested, right? Verse 12. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when we read that passage, that demonstrates something to us, and what we might be a little surprised about in the New Testament, there's very little specific information in the New Testament about what a deacon specifically does. There's very little as far as saying, here's the task list of a deacon, as far as a job description might go. We do see in Acts chapter 6, there's a time when the apostles that have been set apart to preach the word and to focus on prayer, that there are some big needs among the believers. And so the ministry of the word, preaching and prayer, is not overlooked by the apostles. They say, let's set aside some men to serve and help meet the needs of widows and help meet the needs of the church. And so the word deacon is not used in Acts chapter 6, but by and large, people recognize that as the ministry's happening, there need to be some people set aside to serve, so it's not taking away from the preaching of God's word, and it's not taking away from the prayer that the apostles are about. So we see some examples there, but notice in this passage that we just read, the description of a deacon spends a lot more time on a deacon's character than it does on anything, does it? Doesn't it? And in that passage, while it focuses so much on the character of one called to serve, we do get a glimpse of what is so important for the deacon to do. Look at verse 13. Paul writes, those who have what? Served. Those who have served well. And so we do get an indication of what deacons are called to do. They're called to serve. That we see that in their title, that means minister or servant. And we see that in their description, that those who served well are encouraged in their assurance and in their faith. And so by their title, servant, and by the description of serve, we see in that respect, it's no different than what every Christ follower is called to do. So what's the highest role of a Christian? The highest role of a Christian is to serve. The highest role of a Christian is to serve. That's it. The highest honor of a Christian is to be a servant. And we see Jesus emphasizing this as he led his disciples in John chapter 12. Verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "The man who loves his life will lose it. While the man who hates his life, in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And so, as Jesus calls his followers to serve, you notice he mentions the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He's not speaking there, of course, he's not saying hate yourself. He's not saying have this negative, depressing self-image. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, he's contrasting these two here. He's contrasting the one who lives his life in this world and loves his life in this world apart from God's involvement in his life. It's all about self-service and what he wants. And he's contrasting that with the one who hates his life in this world. That's the one who says, I will sacrifice my life for God's calling. I will make a sacrifice for my life, for God's will in my life, for God's way in my life. The highest role of a Christian, of any Christian and every Christian, is to serve. Now, that serve might look very different according to the opportunities that you have to serve. That serve might look very different according to the gifts that you've been given and the abilities that you have been given to serve. But every single thing, listen to this, every single thing that is done as a part of the church, that's done as a part of God's family, is a way of serving. And that should be our attitude and our mindset in everything we walk into in the church, saying, I'm here to serve. The greatest, highest role, the highest role of a Christian is to serve. And so if that is the highest role, then we might ask, well, what can we use to serve? What's the greatest tool that we have to serve with? I met with the student group on Wednesday night, and I asked them about going into a battle, what they would want if they had to face a battle. And I had in my hands, one thing I had in my hands was a machete, and one thing I had in my hands was a towel. The machete representing a sword to fight with, and the towel, something very different. They said, you know, going into battle, they would want the sword. They'd want the machete. But actually, the greatest weapon of a Christian is not the sword, it's a towel. The greatest weapon of a Christian, one of the greatest weapons of a Christian is to take up a towel. Matt mentioned earlier how he wondered about his gifts and his abilities to serve. Here's the thing about being a Christian. All you have to do is be able to take up a towel. You have to be able to take up a towel to serve. We see this happening throughout Christianity. In the early centuries of Christianity, when it began under the umbrella of Rome, Christians did not enjoy the rights that we enjoy today. Christians did not enjoy the free speech that we enjoy today. Christians did not have necessarily anything like a megaphone or a great outlet to broadcast their message. As Rome dominated and ruled, and as Christians, especially the leaders among Christians, were persecuted, this little group of believers in Jesus Christ, over time, the dominant force of Rome that ruled the day was forced to notice Christians. And the thing that Rome noticed about Christians was, one, not only how Christians cared for their own, but how Christians cared for the completely unwanted, even of Rome, the citizens or the people that Rome didn't want anything to do with. Christians would serve and meet their needs. Christians made a difference by taking up the towel to serve. They gave what they had. And in doing so, they were doing nothing other than following in the words and the example of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, when the cross is looming very near, we read of Jesus and his disciples, and the passage begins this way. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So think about this for a moment. Think about Jesus, where he's at in life here. It says that God the Father had put everything under Jesus' power, and Jesus was aware of that. So now here is King Jesus, right? Here is Jesus reigning and ruling. Everything had been given to him by God the Father. He knew that. He knew where he came from. He knew his identity. He knew he was the one and only Son of God. He knew that he came from the Father. He knew he was going back to the Father. So right now at this moment, we know the cross is looming, but Jesus knows he has everything. He knows who he is. He knows where he's going. So there's victory there. If you have that kind of power, and if you have that kind of authority, what are you doing with it? If you personally had that kind of power, and you had that kind of authority, where does your mind go? To riches, to power, to wealth, to dominance. Here's what Jesus did with it. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus, at this moment of knowing that he had all things under his power, knew where he came from and where he was going and who he was, he put himself in the position of a slave to serve his disciples. And he used this as an opportunity to teach them how to relate to each other. Jesus washed their dirty feet. Jesus made himself a servant, and he did this not only by washing feet here in John 13 with a towel. Jesus' role of a servant went even further than that. His role of a servant meant he emptied himself and gave his life on a cross, not simply to wash feet, but to spill his blood to wash sins. That's the God that we celebrate. That's the God that we know. That's the God that we gather around here with every Sunday morning in worship. A God that comes to us, washes feet, and even more so, washes sins. The towel was the weapon that Jesus used. And the towel is the weapon that his followers use still today. Now listen to this, church. Those of you that are here today as Christians, the world may not agree with us and what we believe in and what we proclaim, but they must be impacted by the way we serve. Our statements of faith, shouting out what we believe, makes no difference unless we show them the love, the grace, and the humility of God. To serve them, to love them, to treat them as highly esteemed, no matter who they are. No matter who they are, maybe they're on the opposite side of every one of your arguments. But your call as a Christian is to highly esteem them, to serve them, and to love them. I disagree with you, but I love you. I serve you, and I make myself a slave to lift you up. The highest role of a Christian is to serve. The greatest weapon of a Christian is a towel, which leads us to the last point here. The strongest position of a Christian is to take a knee. The strongest position of a Christian is to take a knee. You probably haven't heard any controversy over taking a knee in the last week, have you? The strongest position of a Christian is to take a knee, but it's to take a knee in prayer, and it's to take a knee to serve, to lift up others. On the night of his betrayal and arrest, Jesus was leading his disciples along while he prayed, and he took a few of them even with him to pray, and we read this on what happened to Jesus in Matthew 26. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus there praying about the cup of suffering and God's wrath that would be poured upon him. And he's saying, "If it's possible, God the Father, take it from me, but not my will, your will be done." He is falling to the ground on his face in prayer, surrendering to God's will. And I would imagine in order to wash those disciples' feet, he had to get down and low on his knee to serve them and wash their feet. The position of taking a knee is a position of honoring God for who he is, surrendering to him, and it's a position to serve each other. And it's what we're called to as followers of Jesus Christ. The highest role is to serve. One of the greatest weapons is a towel. And the strongest stance is to take a knee. Because that's what God honors. Right? As long as we're trying to take up our own weapons and lift ourselves up, that never works in life. But God lifts up the one who makes himself low. God lifts up the one who takes a knee, the one who takes a towel, the one who gives himself as a servant. So the invitation to the congregation here today, the invitation to all that are here today as a church, if you're a Christian, the invitation is to take up the towel in your life. Take up that towel in your life. You think about, how am I going to make a difference? How am I going to make an impact? The way you make an impact is by taking up a towel and serving. As I mentioned earlier, there are multiple opportunities to do that, but we have to humble ourselves in order to say, this is important enough to serve. This is important enough to take a knee, to take a towel, and to take the role of a servant. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to realize this God who I've spoken of today is a God who comes and he serves you. This is the amazing thing. The king that we worship, Jesus, is the king who came and served his servants, the one who came and served his disciples, the one who comes and serves his followers, the one who comes and serves the lost by going to the cross and bleeding for you so that you can have life, so that you can know the hope and the forgiveness and the eternity of God. And his invitation for you is to surrender that and to allow him to do that in your life. At the time of ordination here today, we give a charge to Matt as a candidate for deacon, and we give a charge to the church. And so at this time, I want to give this charge to Matt, and in just a moment, Pastor Eric Franz will come up and give a charge to the church. In order to give that charge to Matt, I want to read to you again 1 Timothy chapter 3, these verses we've begun with this morning, and say this. Matt, as a deacon, you are to be a man worthy of respect. You are to be sincere, not to indulge in much wine or such that would trap a man's life. That you're not to pursue dishonest gain. That, Matt, you would hold the deep truths of the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and allow that to wash your mind and cleanse your conscience. That as you've been tested, and nothing is held against you, that you serve faithfully as a deacon. That, Matt, you would be faithful husband as you are and will continue to be to Melody. Not only to your wife, but that you lead your children and your household well. And that in that, you'll have that assurance and what God has called you to do and serve. So, Matt, the first thing you do is you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't try to please people. A dear saint here gave that advice to me when I was first brought in as pastor here. Don't you dare try to make those people happy. You never will. But you serve God faithfully. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on with that, your first and foremost role in that is to serve your family and to lead them well. You cannot serve the church unless you first serve your family. They are entrusted to you as a small unit of the church, to be faithful to them as husband and as dad. And then, as an expression of that, you serve your church well and faithfully. And that you serve others outside the church faithfully, representing Jesus well, that you take up the towel and serve, brother. And God bless as you do. Pastor Eric.